Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes, and this is the audio diary of my life on the 5th, I suppose it must be, of February. Gosh, where is the days going? We say that all the time, don't we? I don't suppose it's really going any faster than any other time. It's coming up to 8:15 in the morning, a bit late this morning. We went to bed late, various reasons, really, but we had a lovely evening reading and drawing. We've both enjoy our own company, and we sit there and we read to each other. We enjoyed a lovely meal that Julia actually brought over, and we were doing our little drawing things. I brought some socks up in case
you
wanted those. Excellent. I've just come to take the bedding off so I can put it into the thank you. Into the fire. No, not in. I've just got to find the end where the buttons are.
It's over that side.
Oh, yes.
About 2 nights it's been over there. I don't know why.
I don't know why. It's a lovely day outside.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Nice, bright blue sky, and goodness knows if it's going to stay that way, but let's keep our thoughts positive. I might take a walk down to the cat shop. Buy a few cats. Buy some of those biscuit cat food just to complement the quality food that you get. Because he does, on occasions, seem a little, packaged. And I don't want to keep giving him treats.
No.
Because he gets a bit used to that, and then.
Those dried chicken ones are quite expensive.
Are they?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're worth it. Absolutely.
Yes, worth it. But he's now got so used to coming in, going, "Give me a treat," and you're just wondering, like first thing in the morning, it's like, "No, I'm not going to eat normal food. Just give me a treat." So that ain't the training we want, is it?
No.
Even though the treats are not, it's just what is it? Freeze dried chicken. Yeah. Bless you.
Yes, freeze dried chicken.
Do you want your pillowcase washed?
Yes, please, actually.
I shall do mine. And then get them. Oh, yes, yours is a clever one with a little zip.
Zip. I've got my purple silk one, I can go screw it back on.
Oh, brilliant. Here we are then. So, yes, now today I've got somebody on the show at 11 o'clock. She is organising a march, it seems. I don't know too much about it. A march for women. Not sure if it relates to farming or not, in Cornwall, and I can't really remember all the details. I'm sure she'll tell me all about it when she's on the show, but she's probably only going to be on for about half an hour. That's at 11 o'clock, so I've got to get the Zoom link out to her.
Night.
No, night. Yes, woke up a bit tired this morning, bit of a shock. So, you know what it's like when you wake up late and you go, "Oh God, I don't want to get up and get on," but at least we had a good 7-8 hours sleep, whatever it was, even if it was shifted by an hour or so in the opposite direction. Right, let me just get this washing in the washing machine as we dash about. Seems a little milder in the house. God knows if it's any different outside, but there we are. I must get some more soap nuts, because I try not to use detergent anymore. Just occasionally I have it on standby if we've got some very difficult stains or something. Are you going out, Pussycat? I don't know why you look scared. Let me demonstrate. I'll go out and then you can come out. Come on in. Come on in. The sun is shining. It's very lovely. Fresh, clean air. Although, looking up, there's a bloody chemtrail right above the house. Would you credit it? You don't want to go out. Fair enough, that's fine. Somebody sent me an email with a copy of a letter to their MP, and the MP about chemtrails said, you know, "Please can you bring this up in Parliament, blah, blah, blah." And the MP, and I've seen loads of these, people have sent these many times now, just says, "No, no, you're wrong. They're contrails. That we're not doing any geoengineering in the sky.
There's no." I won't have you treat me like an idiot. I know what I see.
And, oh yes, when you look out this side, it's like already beginning to mist over. And so they said, no, it's contrails. There's nothing happening in government. We're not doing anything like that. And sadly, the viewer didn't sort of point to them, to the government's own website, in which there are copious pages which say they are in agreement with the Paris Accord, that they're blocking out the sun, and blah, 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 which of course is on the website. And now, if the MPs don't know that or are just sitting there blatantly lying, they should not be there for one thing. MPs, you know, they're not working in our favour, as that was a prime example of. But it seems to be, I've seen so many of these, and it just seems to be the case all the time. So it's a pain in the right old bottom. So there, you put your coat on. Are you imminently off?
No, I'm just cold.
Oh, I could have given you a nice warm jumper to wear, but...
That's all right, I've got a warm coat up anyway to go outside in.
Ah, you're going outside?
Not yet.
Oh, yes. See what you mean. So what is it today, the 5th? I don't think we've got anything in the 5th to look at. But I never knew that about England. Let's see where that sends us this time in our subject of debate. And yesterday, I had a bit of a frustrating day, didn't I? So one of the things I like to do when I'm writing, and I did this with the children's books, I did it with pretty much all of them when I got to the end of the first draft. And in fact, I think I did this with Splidge before I got to the end of the first draft, because I do actually have somewhere in the pile of books that I had printed off before they were released, a part one and a part two of Splidge, which is interesting, because the original book is about 300 pages, the final book rather. Anyway, what I did yesterday is I'm struggling with the end of this novel. It'll come and it'll all be fine. I have no problems with that. But at this moment in time, I've got to a point where I'm over 100,000 words and lots of things going on. There's lots of other things that I've been thinking must go in, not quite sure where. Scenes need to be moved about a little bit, and so on and so forth. And then how do I bring it all to an end? I mean, I've got an idea of how it's all going to end, blah, blah, but... So I thought, what I need really, because it's all on a computer, it's all on, you know, it's just page after page of scroll, scroll, scroll to try and go back, and to print it out would be perfect. But 300 pages, and you know what the cost of ink is, and my printer is an old printer, and I don't want it knackered up by doing all of this. And so I thought, I know, I'll go to lulu.com, which is where I used to go, and you can... upload your book, whack it in a quick template, and then print it, and then have it, whatever they call it, processed, I suppose, in some fashion. So it's in a book with a basic cover, and then have one copy. So it's a draft copy that's sent to you, like an approval copy. Well, you can do that as many times as you want. You don't have to publish it so the public can see it, but you can if you want. So I did that, and it was just under £7 for one copy. Well, I was thinking a ream of paper now is about a tenner, and the ink is about 20 quid. So if you printed it off, it would be about 30 quid. But go to lulu.com, and they'll have it bound in a book in a version that could be how the book will end up. But you'd only make it much better. Anyway, the point is, I've got a version printed. So it now means that with a red or blue pen, one can sit on a sofa, not at the screen, and read the thing back and go, yeah, okay, let's take that out, let's move that there, let's do this, let's do that, and get a real feel for the story. I mean, I have a plot line, which as I've been writing it, I've been writing up this plot line in note form. So-and-so goes here, this happens, then this, blah, blah, blah. So I've got that, and that's been very helpful, and I've been able to sort of write, oh, maybe this happens and maybe that happens. So I would sit with this plot line and the book and go, oh, yeah, I put in here this. Does that now work? Anyway, So that would take a couple of days to read through it and fiddle around, but I think that's what I just need. Anyway, that said, that's what I did yesterday, but I had frustrations trying to get to remember, because I hadn't done it for 5 years, and they changed the website round a bit. So I was trying to do that. Right, opening up the book, Sussex. Oh, we're in Sussex today, and let us go to Hastings then. Dawn of the Norman Age and the Television Age, it says here. On the clifftop of Hastings are scant remains of the first castle built in England by William the Conqueror. Down by the pier is the Conqueror's Stone, on the spot where William supposedly had eaten his first breakfast in England. I wonder if it was an all-English breakfast. It would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, hello, William. It's lovely to see you. What would you like now? Would you like bacon, hash browns, a bit of blood pudding? All of that? Would you like that? And what would you like to drink? Glass of orange juice?
That'd be lovely. Well, he was Norman French, wasn't he? So he'd be more...
Yeah, I think it'd be superb. You are very kind. However, once you have given me my dinner, my breakfast, I will have him, Rufus, to run you through with his sword. Oh, that's not so nice. You're not very welcome here next time. Do not worry. You will not be here to serve anyone, for we are going to conquer the world. Oh, well, good luck with that, then.
So, there you go. What was the bit with the television, then? I'm not quite sure. Upstairs, downstairs, Coronation Street, Fawlty Towers, Life on Earth, Al Jazeera and Big Brother all owe their existence to Linton Crescent, Hastings, for it was here that Television Age was born. It was in the building in 1923 that television pioneer John Logie Baird succeeded in transmitting shadowy images of a man's hand and thus ensured that life would never be the same again. Logie Baird's equipment consisted of a cardboard disc cut out of a hat box and a tin plate and a bicycle lamp lens, sealing wax and some darning needles. And yes, if you went to Selfridges, you can still buy a television set made of all those things. And if you can't, you can probably buy all those things separately and bring them together to make your own television set. And then don't be worried, because you will be lied to left, right and centre by the mainstream media. But anyway, in 1924, as his experiment became more sophisticated, Baird had to move to the upper floor of 9 Queen's Avenue, but was soon asked to leave after an unfortunate accident involving 12,000 volts that flung him stunned across the room and fused the whole building. After a scuffle on the pavement outside with his irate landlord, Mr. Tree, John Logie Baird gathered up his stuff and returned to London. In 1941, he retired to a house by a railway station at Bexhill-on-Sea, where he died in 1946. Comedian Joe Brand was born in Hastings in 1917 and was Baby Spice. Oh, as was Baby Spice girl Emma Bunton in 1979. Beg your pardon. So there we go. That was a little bit about Hastings that I'm sure you never knew about, but there we are.
Petit déjeuner.
What?
When you were talking about William the Conqueror having his first breakfast, I was like, petit déjeuner. I was like, isn't that the French word for breakfast? And guess what? It blooming is. Well done, brain.
There you go. Petit
déjeuner.
There we are. And I suppose for him, if you went to France and had your petit déjeuner, it would be an It would be an all French breakfast, wouldn't it? And what would that consist of? Frog's legs and croissants.
Snails,
frog's legs and croissants. Very cross.
Croissants.
Croissants.
What is a sont?
A sont is something that gets very cross very often when you warm it up and stick butter all over it.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. So put that in your peep.
And I'll put it on my plate and eat it, actually.
Oh, good idea. Did you turn the internet off last night?
I did turn it off last night.
Oh, go and turn it. No, I'll go and turn it on this morning. All right, cat on the stairs, guarding everything, going, where's my treats? You're not having any. You're not having any treats this morning. Oh, right, I feel some semblance of order. When I get the Naked Englishman done, in the mornings and uploaded and what have you, I feel like that's the first duty done. And I can sort of go back to my master and go, yes, sir, right, it's all done, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Standing there erect and a saluting.
I didn't know you had to, never mind.
Oh. So that's that. And then the next duty, obviously, is to get well, if I've got links to send out to people and emails to have a quick brush over, and then the video of the day. And then once all those things are done, I feel like, oh, right, OK, I can now get on with work or, you know, whatever things I've got lined up for the day. It just seems to be a way of life. And this way of life I've kind of had in for donkeys now, because I used to do The Naked Englishman, and then I would have the Vobe show audio thing that I would do for half an hour in the shed, which was, well, not really in a shed, it was in a beach hut at the foot of the South Downs at the edge of the English Channel, I used to say. But it was actually in a shed, but don't tell anyone. That's my little secret next to My Little Pony. So there you go. I thought I'd turn this on. Are you coming into life? I must get Yogi Baird in here to give it John Yogi. Anyway, whatever. But he's probably still in Hastings or Bexhill in Sea or somewhere with his flea. I will catch up with you soon. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope it was palatable. Until the next one, toodle pip.